I thank God for the privilege of sharing God's word with you this morning and the great opportunity to worship together so that our life will be enriched by God's word. This morning I want to share with you God's word, which is found in Isaiah chapter 9 and a few verses of the scriptures which we have read. It is my prayer that God will bless our hearts. The theme of my message this morning is that Jesus is wonderful. What does Christmas mean to us? To the entrepreneurs, it is a time to make money. To some, it is a time to have the year-end holiday, a time to shop, and a time to celebrate with feasting and merrymaking. The core meaning of Christmas has to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He came to die, and that through him we might have eternal life. This is indeed a wonderful message for all of us today. In Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah prophesies that the child to be born must come from the house of David. He will be King of kings and lords and lords of lords, ruling over the nation Israel. He will have the hope for all the Israelites, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. From this title, or the title of his name, we shall see that Jesus was invested with the highest honor and power. Scripture speaks that Jesus is wonderful from cradle to cross and to the crown. These are my 3 points to you this morning. Wonderful cradle. Jesus is wonderful from the cradle, because the scripture says to us, unto us a child is born. Jesus is wonderful because of his unique birth. God announced the birth of the Messiah in the Garden of Eden. The seed of the woman who bruised the serpent head, Genesis 3:15. Who was this seed of a woman? Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, has come. He was born without the human father. He was born of a virgin birth. And this is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The virgin birth is a cardinal doctrine in our church. It is essential to our salvation, and we all hold strongly to the virgin birth of Jesus. When the angels told Mary that she shall conceive in her womb and bring forth a son, Mary confessed, "How shall this be, saying, I know not a man?" Her confession was the best testimony of all, because she personally confessed that she had no personal relationship with any man. And the Apostle Paul wrote that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. We can therefore see that even the Apostle Paul himself speaks to us the virgin birth of Christ, because Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son made of a woman. And this was in fulfillment of Genesis 3:15 and Isaiah 4:7-4:14. We, the Bible Presbyterian Church, we hold strongly to the Westminster Confession of Faith, the larger and the shorter catechism, coupled with the Apostles' Creed. And the Apostles' Creed declare that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. The critics reject the virgin birth because it is biologically impossible. They need to read the scriptures, what the angels said to Mary after the announcement of the virgin birth. For with God, nothing is impossible. How wonderful God is to us, that with God, nothing is impossible. Today, do you have any problems with you? Any difficulties? If it is within the will of God to answer your prayer, nothing is impossible for God to perform. Some might say, can God create a stone that is so huge that it is impossible for him to carry? God can do all things, and can he create a stone that is so huge that it's impossible? These are the critics who try to minimize the power of God. And then we can see that the liberals, the critics, the modernists, who deny the virgin birth and say that the word virgin birth, that the woman should be translated as a young woman, whether young or old, it can be a virgin. The liberal will say, translate this virgin birth of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 7, it says a young girl, and therefore implying that a young girl implies that it must be a virgin. It is not necessary. Where even an older folks, older lady can still be a virgin. So it doesn't mean that it is being translated as a young woman indicates to us that it is a virgin. So it is very important that we have to stick to the scriptures to say exactly what the scripture says to us, that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin woman. And this is our belief. This is our position. This is our stand. Without this belief, there is no salvation. And I hold strongly to these positions. For it is necessary for Jesus to be born of a virgin. Jesus needs to have a real body to be a man and yet sinless. He needed to be sinless in order to be a savior to save us from sin and hell. He had been born, if Jesus has been born according to the natural process, he would inherit a sinful nature. And therefore we see that from the scriptures itself, the sinless life of Jesus proved that he was born of a virgin. And this is our conviction, and this is our stand, and this is our belief. What is so special about the birth of Jesus is that he was born in Bethlehem, where all the rooms were taken by the crowd. They came to register their names in the census conducted by the Roman government. But it was the place of Jesus' birth that is what I want to bring to you here this morning. We see that Jesus was born in Bethlehem not by coincidence, not as a result of circumstances. It was according to prophecy of the scriptures. For the Bible in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 prophesies to us that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. God has chosen it before Jesus was born. This proves to us that the scriptures is true, that the scriptures is reliable. Second, Isaiah mentioned to us, unto us a son is given. God gave his only begotten son for us to die on the cross. Is that wonderful? And I see that as we celebrate Christmas, we must look backward to the cross. To the cross where Jesus Christ died for our sin. Jesus is wonderful because of his unique death on the cross. We learn that he was born to die. His death was unique because there was no cause for him to die. He need not die. Jesus did not die of an old age or disease or accident. He did not die, need not have to die because there was no sin in him, for he himself became obedient unto death and gave himself willingly for us. All of us, we have to die, whether we like it or not. I was here 30 years ago. As a young man, I came here to this church, and I met Vincent, and I drove the 626 car here about 30 odd years ago, and Vincent told me that 626 car is a very good car. He explained to me, oh, I was so impressed by his engineering knowledge. That was 30. And now, at the twinkling of an eye, 30 years has gone by. So quickly, so fast. And we do not know what happened. Don't talk about 30 years. What happened another 5 years, we do not know. We live day by day. So it is important that as we grow older, we realize the shortness of life. Our life is only 70 and 10. By reason of strength, we may live to 80 years. But it is all by the grace of God that God has put us here. One day we will not be here. We all have to die because of our sin. Many of us will die of old age, disease. Some might die of accidents. But we know for sure that we will have to die. But Jesus Christ need not have to die, but he became obedient unto death and gave himself willingly unto us. Jesus came to die for our sins in order to save us from eternal death. If we believe in him as our Savior, we will have eternal life. He died to atone for our sins, and he is the only one who has ever died in this way. When Jesus was born, the angel told Joseph to call his name Jesus, which signified to us that he was to be the Savior. Why did God do it? He did it out of the sheer love for us. Jesus was uniquely qualified to take our place because he is God and he is also man like we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man without sin, and therefore he can be our mediator and he can die for us. He can die as our substitute. He must be 100% man like we are, but yet without sin. 100%. And how can a person be 100% man yet without sin? Therefore, the virgin birth comes into play. He was born without sin, not tainted with sin. He was conceived by God the Holy Ghost. And so we can see that Jesus Christ is fully man, 100% man, 100% God. These two natures in him, they are not mixed. This is an important teaching for us to learn. And because of this, he can be our Savior. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ was tempted in every way, just as we are, and yet he never sinned. If Jesus Christ has sinned while we live here, then he cannot take our place and cannot pay for our sin. Think of it this way. Let's think of this. Suppose you have a rare disease that caused you to have a need for kidney transplant. If someone else who had the same disease offered to give you one of their kidneys, how would you respond? Obviously, it is a noble gesture, but it is also completely worthless. Replacing one diseased kidney with another one that does you no good. If Jesus Christ were to live in a sinless, if Jesus Christ had not lived a sinless life, he could have been like a person trying to give us his diseased kidney. But it is because Jesus was not infested with disease of sin that he was able to offer himself for us. It is important to understand who Jesus is, because he had no sin and he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sin. Because Jesus was sinless, he was fully God, and therefore he can be offered as a sacrifice for us. On this Christmas day, it is therefore very important for us to preach the cross of Jesus at Christmas time. And it is not out of place. I say this is not out of place, because as we celebrate Christmas about the birth of Christ, we must touch the cross of Jesus. If the cross of Jesus is not preached, the celebration of Christmas will be meaningless and incomplete. Christ came to die for our sin. And if there is no preaching of the cross of Christ, the message of Christmas is not complete. It is meaningless. And I want to stress very important for myself and to you that as we rejoice of the birth of Christ, let us see the cross of Christ. Then the primary function of his coming is that Jesus come to die for us. The cross must be held high so that everybody can see. Jesus is wonderful because of his wonderful crown. He came in order that one day he will sit upon the throne of David. Is that wonderful? Jesus is wonderful because he promised that he will come again. So Christmas message must touch the cross, and we must preach about the second coming of Christ. This is important. When you celebrate Christmas, many thought about Jesus was born in Bethlehem. We talk about the angels. We talk about the three wise men. But we must emphasize the cross and the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Christmas hymns that we sang I want to ask you to turn to the hymn, Joy to the World. Joy to the World, which is sang all across the world by millions of Christians and non-Christians alike. You open the hymn book. Study the words of this hymn, Joy to the World. It will reveal to us that the writer Isaac Watt had in mind of the millennium. In this Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, doesn't speak about the first coming of the Savior. It talks about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you. This Joy to the World is a hymn of the second coming of Christ. It speaks to us about the millennium, which Christ will come again with power and glory, when Jesus will reign in this earth in perfect peace and joy. Read this word. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let the earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. Let sins and sorrow grow. When Christ comes again, the second time, as King of Kings, there will be no sorrow and no pain. No thorns infest the ground. The ground, there will have no thorns. He comes to make his blessings flow. When Christ rule on this earth, there will be blessings that flow from him. For far as the curse is found, there will be no curse. He rule the world with truth and grace and makes the nations proof the glory of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. How wonderful it is. Do you know that when we sang the hymns, Joy to the World, we are looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ to rule this world with peace and to rule under him, and all that were under him find it a great joy. There will be no thorns and thistles. There will be peace, and there will be love, and the righteousness of God shone brightly on this earth. So I want to bring to you that as you celebrate Christmas, never, never forget about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Remember of his birth, remember of his death, and remember of his second coming. And now what happened to Jesus? Jesus now is seated at the right hand of the Father, presently interceding on our behalf. And we know that in life we have great problems, we have difficulties, and we can present to God our Father. And do we know that all our answers, our prayer, is because of Jesus Christ, who is interceding for us? We are comforted. We are blessed because we have Christ in us. And Christ in us enables us to pray according to God's will. And then we can see that Christ is now interceding on our behalf. Our prayers are answered not because you are good or you are righteous, but it's because of Jesus Christ. And I want to say that every day is Christmas. Every day is Christmas. Because Christ is in us, and we have him in our hearts. And every day we rejoice. When we have Christ in our hearts, every day we have peace in our hearts, and we rejoice in him. The joy and the peace make us to know that God is with us. You know, 3 years ago, out of the blue, a Straits Times reporter came and interviewed me. He asked me, how do you celebrate Christmas? And what do Christmas mean to me? I told him, every day is Christmas. He said, hey, to you, every day is Christmas? Yeah, every day is Christmas. I said, it's because Christ is in me. And in him, I find that he is my Savior, and I can come to know him, not only of his birth, death, resurrection, and his soon coming again. Christmas means I have Christ in my heart. And therefore, when we celebrate Christmas, let us look forward to the wonderful return of Jesus. While the last Prince of Wales was on a visit to the Midlands, he went into a certain working man's home. The next day, the workman told his friend very sadly, "I never expected him to visit my place. And do you know that my house was so untidy, and I was not ready to receive him, but he came to my place." And he said, this workman said, "I was not prepared." Today, the Prince of Peace is coming again in power to this earth. We do not know the day nor the time, but the thing is that we must always be prepared. We must always be prepared. And that is important. You know, I came here, maybe the pastor or the elder of the church, he asked me about my cardiac problem. Yes, I have cardiac problem. And I thank God that I have cardiac problem because it made me to be prepared. I tell why is prepared is important. I went for the cardiac ablations because the doctor said, what's the chances of success? The cardiac ablations, 60% may be success. Then he said to me that during the procedure, he may touch on certain areas of the heart waves and you may be paralyzed or you may get a stroke or worse still, you might die. So after listening from him, I said to him, I think I don't want to back up. Because he gave me all the negatives. You might get a stroke, you might get a heart failure, you might get a heart attack, and after me, you might die. So I told my wife, I better not. So the first invitation, I rejected. Then the cardiac, I had a heart problem called the rhythm disorder. It was so bad. I said, never mind. This time, I prepared to die. So after that, being treated, gone through, praise God, I had gone through the treatment. I went home. For the last few months, when I went home, well, I must take care because it's an ablation. I must not exert myself, not get too excited. If you are too happy, you get problems. If you are too sad, you get problems. So must live normal life. You know, heart patients, you must not be too happy. You get too happy, you get triggered arrhythmia. If you're too sad, you get triggered arrhythmia. So every day must be contented, be happy as we are, and the Lord knows. So after treatment for us, during the first 6 months, you must take care of yourself. So when, my home, we have only my wife and myself. Whenever my wife goes out, I always prepare. I always dress nicely. I put my IC on the table. You may laugh. I carry my handphone, IC, admission card, all ready. When my wife went out, I quietly dress up too. And I said, my IC, admission card, all ready. If anything happened, straight away, within less than 5 minutes, I'll go to the hospital. Why? I am prepared. And that is the lessons that I learned. Must be always there. I get all my medicines on the table, my admission card, my IC, and everything. Because I learned from a bitter lesson of not being prepared. Because one day, well, I was not prepared now. I suddenly had an arrhythmia. I felt the pain. What happened was that I left my IC on the upper floor. Then I had to climb all the way to the upper floor to find my IC. Then I walked down to the lower floor. Then I said, oh, I have forgotten to bring the money. I climbed all the way. And I climbed. Then I claimed that, then, oh, I have forgotten to bring some appointment card. So I climb up and up and down. By the time you run three times, the arrhythmia becomes worse. But the lessons that I learned is that we must always be prepared for all things. All things. Whether I preach and share with you this sermon, I prepared myself. And I say that in all things in life, we must be prepared. And God has taught me the lesson. Be prepared and to be like the scout. At this Christmas time, let us all be prepared for the second coming of the Lord. He will come at any time. Some of us thought that, well, we are living in Singapore, very peaceful, time of peace, time of prosperity. Be prepared for our life, because life, things can happen to us anytime, at any moment. When we are thinking that we are healthy and strong, the next morning, we may be gone. So I want to emphasize that as we celebrate with rejoice, let us always be prepared. As we celebrate Christmas this year, our celebrations will perhaps be colored by the anxiety around us. Terrorism, economic uncertainties, storms, floods, worries, and the future happenings. We do not know what will happen in the year 2004. The world is in a mess. Yet in these circumstances, we need to hear the gospel, the good news afresh. In Christ, we have our Savior, the Messiah, and He knows the mess of this world. And the Savior will be coming very soon as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when He comes, we will have peace on this earth. This is what we look forward, and this is what we ask the Lord to help us to prepare, that when He comes, we are well prepared. Let us live holy lives, holy living. It is very easy for us to say holy living, but the moment when we are out of the church, we live according to our own ways. And I guess husband and wife sometimes quarrel and then shout at each other in church so lovingly, "Oh, please meet my dear wife." But when you at home, we shout one another, we scold one another. So let us always live a holy life. And this holy life is demonstrated in our families, towards our children, how we handle our job situations. Let us live holy lives. That is important. In our concluding thoughts, what is your response when you know that Jesus is wonderful? We should follow the example of our Heavenly Father, who did not spare His only Son, but gave up for Himself for us because of our sin. This reminds us that Christmas is God's perfect gift for us. Do you think we ourselves can present our lives as a gift from God? Yes. Yes, God has given His best gift to us. Let us present our lives as a gift to God. Anything you give to the Lord that has no sacrifice on your part is not an offering, but it's only a contribution. In conclusion, let me give you this story. A chicken and a pig saw this announcement in the church bulletin. Ham and egg for Christmas breakfast. The proceeds will go to missions. The chicken said to the pig, "You and I are giving to missions." The pig replied, "Yes, we both are giving to missions, but with this difference. You only have to give a contribution of your eggs, but I have to make the sacrifice of my life for the ham." This Christmas, the best offerings that we can give is the sacrifice of our lives for the service of God. That makes the difference. Our life, we must give our life totally and dedicated to Him. We talk about dedication service. You know, when the dedication, I do not know whether it is practiced in this church, in my church. Dedicate. Sunday school teachers, superintendent, YF president, session members, they all came much forward. And then the pastors prayed for them or made me pledge them. After that, they returned back to their own seat. But I feel that when you talk about dedication, dedication means sacrifice. It is not just saying a few words and the pastor pray for you. When you dedicate yourselves to God, means you are willing to sacrifice of your time. You are willing to sacrifice of your life. You are willing to sacrifice of your money. And you are willing to sacrifice of your all for God. And that is dedication, therefore, means sacrifice. If you just come forward and then just ask the pastor to pray for you or for the whole group, and you are not willing to sacrifice, that is not dedication. Dedication means you are willing to give of your time, the best of your time, your life, your all for him. It is just like the pig. I want to contribute my ham for the Christmas. In order to have a ham, the pig must sacrifice his life. The chicken can also give, contribute eggs, but it is not a contribution itself. So today, as we celebrate Christmas, let us give our life. One life will soon be passed. What we have done for Christ will last. We do not know what 10 years will along the line. Don't talk about 10 years, 5 years. No, when we are younger, I usually say, well, let's have a plan of 20 years, a 30 years plan. Then as you grow older, 10 years plan. Then as you grow older, 5 years plan. Then he said, let us see, plan for the next year. But whatever it is, let us give our lives to God. And our lives to God will not be vain. What we serve and contribute, our life will not be. I want to make this conclusion. Don't waste your time. Don't waste it. Use it wisely, fruitfully for God. And God will bless you. God will give you the peace and joy of heart in the service of the Lord. So when I say God bless you, means his joy and peace shall be upon you as you serve him and give your life to him. You may be going through a period of difficulties, in a rugged place, in the difficult circumstances, and yet the peace and joy that is in us is a blessing to us despite of our difficulties. May God help us. Thank you.